Hello and welcome to another You May or May Not Like It. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at PureRockFury. And we're here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at ReviewAndRoast. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ReviewAndRoast. And you can find all of our written reviews at ReviewAndRoast.com. While you're there, you can find a little button there for our Patreon, where we do post a monthly exclusive Patreon-only podcast. And we also have some other stuff going up there soon as well. If you feel like supporting us. Right now, we have an Overwatch podcast up there. That's our last one. We have another one coming in the next week or two. I'm not sure what the topic is yet. But, hey, if you want to support us, that's where
it's probably going to be awesome.
Oh, no, it's totes going to be awesome. But don't scream like that again because that hurt my ears.
You should turn me down.
We're getting some topical stuff.
He's too inconsistent. He's
turned him shit
he's
down.
He's too like this, and he's too like this, and then he's adjusting everything, and he's on the
I'm bobbing and weaving. You got to keep him moving.
And he's on the Snapchat the whole time. So, speaking of that, you can find us on the Instagram at instagram.com/reviewandroast. And today, we are here to talk to you about Unearth. Unearth is a bend-your-luck game of dice placement and set collection. It plays in under an hour with 2 to 4 players, and each player leads a tribe of delvers represented by 5 dice. You get 3 6-sided, 1 4-sided, and 1 8-sided die. And then players take turn rolling and placing dice in an attempt to claim stones and ruins. The game ends when all of the ruins have been claimed. Then you tally up your points, bada bing, bada boom.
That's
it. Game is over. It's actually pretty simple, like the description there has stated. You get 5 dice, and
hey-o.
Yep. And correct me if I'm wrong, but depending on the number of players, that depends on how many ruins are out there, correct?
That is correct. It's well, it depends that...
The players plus 2.
That's how many wonders there are, named wonders.
Ah, so there's always 5 ruins?
Yes.
Okay.
There's always 5 ruins, but the amount of ruins in the stack is determined by how many players.
Oh, that's right. That's yep. right.
That's why that we had originally played this game a couple times with 2 player. That's why this one seemed to go a little bit longer, because there was 5 more ruins in that deck.
Yeah. So what were those special ones called?
The named wonders. Okay. There's wonders, basically.
Basically, what happens is you get your 5 ruins out, and each ruin has a point value, usually anywhere from about 9... the highest I've seen is 21, but that was a special card. Usually they're about 17, 18 points. And you roll your die, and you place it on the card. Well, you call out the card you want to roll for first. You place your die on the card. Next person does the same. Each ruin has a certain number of stones on them. And if you roll a 1, 2, or 3, you then take that. You can take a stone. It's your choice. If there's no stones left on that card, you don't get nothing. You're just a terrible roller. I do like the fact that they try to reward shitty rollers like myself by making the stones a part of the game.
That was a heavy sigh because...
Because he sucks.
Well, no, because it's when you want it, you don't get it. When you get it, when you don't want it. It's just how many times have you rolled that 4 when you could have just got a 3 and been happy? So right. It's still dice is dice is dice. And
yeah, you always roll what you don't need for the most part. So basically, the purpose of these stones is you build little, not circles.
Crop circles.
No, how many?
Hexagonal.
Thank you. Is it hex? It's 6.
Yeah.
Okay. So you build like these hexagonal shapes, and then within that, you drop in... What were those? The named ruins. You can either choose from the named ruins, or you can choose the lesser ruin or the greater ruin.
Correct.
And those, you know, they are worth more points at the end of the game. But the named ruins all have specific, almost like abilities, whereas one is, you know, when you're pulling stones out of the bag, you can pull extras and decide which one you want on the card. There's one that gives you 1 point for every blue stone, because there are 5 colors, right?
Yes. Wait.
5?
Well, as far as stones, you got black, blue, red, yellow. That's it. It's the 4 for the stones. And then with the ruin cards, you actually have 5. You have
correct
purple, light purple, green, orange, and blue.
Yep.
Nailed it. So as you're building the stones, you cannot move them once you place them, but as you complete your circles, you can claim other ruins that get you points at the end of the game. What am I missing? I think I pretty much covered a lot of it here. The Delver cards. Why don't you talk about the Delver cards? Because I've said a lot.
The Delver cards?
Yep.
That'd be great.
So alongside those other items, your turn phase consists of two parts, the Delver phase and then the excavation phase. So they have this set up in sort of like a, let's call it a quote-unquote exploration game. But, I mean, you're really not doing anything like that, but that's just how it's listed. So you have these little cards that give you one-time abilities to modify your dice or modify dice that are already in play, what have you. Those you play before you actually roll your die for your turn. So each turn you roll one die, call out a card, yada yada. Well, some of these Delver cards will let you modify a die that's already in play, modify a die that's going to be in play, or something of that nature. So you get to use as many of those cards as you want before you take your excavation phase, which would be rolling your die. So you may be able to roll an additional die before your actual turn. And at any point in time during either one of those two phases, a card becomes, let's say...
completed.
Completed, yeah, there you go. That card goes to whoever completed it, and a new one comes out. So if, let's just say, none of the cards out there were the color you were looking for, and this card out there is 1 point away, and you can give somebody a +2. You can let somebody win that card. A new card comes out, and you can roll for it. You're not going to hit any card in one die roll, but at least you can try and stake claim. If you have your D8 left and you want to try and roll a high number and get it out there, that's an option. I did it once in the last game we played, and I guess it kind of worked, but...
not the way you wanted it.
Not exactly the way... yeah, I tried a couple things. I got lucky with some suit placement, let's just say. Some
Did you
color.
Say soup?
Soup. No, I said suit.
Oh.
Like soup. Suits of card suits?
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
It sounded like soup.
It was not soup.
This is the beef barley?
Yeah.
Oh. This is the Italian wedding?
So, yeah, I guess it's...
whoa.
That's basically the only thing that the Delver cards are good for. And you receive those Delver cards when you have dice... die or dice on a card or a ruin that is claimed by somebody else, the losers basically get Delver cards for it. So that's kind of how that is. So case in point, if Scott rolled a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 4, and then I came in and rolled the D8 and rolled the 7, I have the highest die on the card. I get the actual ruin card, but you get 4 Delver cards.
Yes.
Which is actually quite handy.
Yeah.
And it actually leads to a lot of different strategic things you can do in this game.
Especially because, just like always, the first game we played wrong, and we always just kept a hand of two of these cards. So if you played one, you drew one.
Right,
basically. Whereas now you find out that you don't get them back when you play them. The only way to get them back is to lose a ruin
card. So you kind of play them in a little bit more of a tight manner. Where the first game we played, I'm just whipping these things out like, yeah, I'm +2.
That's where the strategy really comes in, because even if it's a card you know you don't want, but you know you need some cards, you have to kind of throw away dice. But at the same time, it's the same thing. Like with me, two games in a row now, like I go for the named wonder, or is it a wonder?
What's that?
Yeah. For the named wonder, and it gives me 1 point for every blue stone I have. So every time a new rune comes out and the blue stone pops, I'm constantly trying to get it. Whether I need the card or not, I want that blue stone. So my dice are kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
And you also can't if you run out of dice, that's the only time you can take a die back and re-roll it. Other than that, you have to roll what's not been placed yet, which is also kind of strategic and nice about this game.
Right, because sometimes you wanna throw the D4 out there because you want to get a stone to build a hexagon. Sometimes you want to throw the D8. Sometimes you
just got to throw the D out there.
But sometimes you want to throw the 8 out there because you want to sneak in and grab a card that somebody's been working towards.
Right.
So if Brian's rolled 3 D6s, 4, 4, 4, so he's got a total of 12. The card's a 13. I'm going to throw a D8 out there. Brian's either going to win the card and I get a Delver card, or I'm going to get the card and he gets three Delver cards. So if the color is valuable to me, I got to give it a shot.
Well, not only that, the other thing about this game that kind of gets frustrating is the scoring. For every color you have, if you have one blue card, it's worth 2 points. If you have two, it's worth 4 points. If you have three, it's worth 10 points. If you have four, it's worth 20 points. I mean, don't quote me on the numbers here. Yeah. So it behooves you
2, 6, 12
to collect the same suit, mm-hmm. but you know, you start with a card face down that no one else sees. So, and your color may never come out. So
yeah,
you may,
for all we know, we all have an orange one. You know what I mean?
Right. I started out with a light purple. They didn't come out for half the deck.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, there's already three dark purples out there. I'll go for those. You guys swooped them up. Well, fuck me. You know what I mean? Yep. So now I'm like, all right, I'll go for green. By the end of the game, I had one of every color and then two greens.
Which is worth points. One of every color is worth a
bonus.
It's
only worth five.
I feel like that should be worth more.
I feel like it should, too.
I feel like that should be 12 points.
But see, here's the deal. You had like four of one color.
I had five.
Five of one color, and you had 48 points. Yeah. I had shit for cards, but I had good ruins.
Yeah,
I
you actually. Points. Well, and you also got the plus seven on the final ruin.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's not like it's the only way to get points, but I mean, a couple more cards and I would have had it, but or a couple of more matches than I would have had it, but
yep.
It is, you know, it is what it is.
Well, and the other thing too is you can also, there's no limit to how many cards somebody has, like so. You can go the whole game without taking one rune, really.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, it probably won't happen, but I don't know how many you guys had, but I think in that last match I had 9 cards when we were done. I don't know how many are actually in there, but that's a lot of cards.
I believe so, because I only had 5.
Yeah, I had a set of 5, a set of 3, plus 1. One straggler that I caught.
Yeah, so Brian is here. Let's ask him what he thinks.
Honestly, I wasn't sure what to expect because this is made by the same guys that made Boss Monster and all the Boss Monster accessories. I bought Boss Monster because I thought it was going to be the best game ever. And I remember we played it, and it was okay, but it was not the best game ever. And I don't think we've played it in like a good 4 years now. I think we literally played it one night and then never touched it again.
I think we played it 2 nights.
Maybe we did. I think Dinkins liked it the most because it was Super Nintendo, basically. But so I was like, I don't know. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not. It's not bad. I mean, honestly, I had zero strategy in this first game.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot all about the suits thing. I'm barely, like, coherent this week. So yeah. I'm like, oh, the suits, that was a thing. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, for the last, like, 2 weeks, you know, Mike's like, hey, I'm going to bring over On Earth. We should play On Earth. I'm like, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. And when he brings it over, and I look at it, I'm like, oh, well, that's not what I expected. And then I read it, it's for, like, 8 and up. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Well, technically, so is, like, Ticket to Ride.
I know, but I'm like, Jesus.
Or Carcassonne.
I just sometimes I like heavier things. But, you know, I was pleasantly surprised. I really enjoy this game.
No, I think when you and I were talking, after we've played it the first day, it's sort of like that good middle filler game.
Well,
you know
what
I mean?
Clarify, that Cartoon Network crossover deck builder game that I got for our nephew is 13 plus, and he and I played it successfully twice now, and it's super easy, and I don't know why that one is 13 plus, because it's all fucking like Gumball and Clarence and all Steven Universe, but you know, like the most violent
like
thing in that game is like, give your opponent a card, woo.
Yeah, I think a lot of these games are, you know, could be played by younger people. It's just, I don't know how they come up with these. I mean, as far as the game itself, they say 8+. As far as the community on Board Game Geek, they say 6+. So,
what? Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I don't think you'd find somebody under 10 years old that wants to play this game, though.
Yeah.
It's not very.
I don't know about 6+. I think that's.
I don't think it's very exciting.
That's the.
You know what I mean? It's.
Those are the votes of the guys that only play like 4X games every weekend and never.
Sure. It's quite possible.
Well, like 4X game would be considered like Ruin Wars or Scythe or Twilight Imperium, like long, heavy, super complicated, lots of different variables each turn, like slow, kind of methodical gameplay, like. Not a game that you can bust out in 40 minutes. Like a game you're going to spend a Mage Knight would be in the 4X realm.
This game...
It's not 4X realm, but it's not Ticket to Ride either. It's actually kind of Ticket to Ride adjacent, though.
No, I would say it's adjacent.
We put it more adjacent to Splendor when we were talking a minute ago.
Yes.
But, yeah, I would say
Splendor
that.
Splendor with a little bit of Minecraft, maybe, for some reason. It reminded me of No Man's Sky just because of the artwork.
Yeah.
I dig it because there's dice.
Yeah, anything with dice, I'm already like half on board.
Well, I'm always a fan when there's dice that are not the norm. Like there's D4 in here. Like how many games have those?
I was tempted to say Kingsburg, but it's really not like Kingsburg.
No,
because you need exact amounts in Kingsburg, which is why I think Kingsburg is one of the most underrated games of all time. And now I find out there's an official release date for the re-release, and I'm kind of pissed I didn't wait now.
Well, that's what you get.
I might just get it. Maybe I'll just give mine to Dylan.
Well, anywho.
I won't, but...
Back to Unearth.
I'm just saying. I was thinking Kingsburg because you roll the dice, you place the dice.
Right, yeah.
And you're trying to get, like... You're trying to get the low... But then it's like... I don't know. And because also, like, the lower amounts, you get the resources. Whereas, like, in Kingsburg, you roll a dice, you roll a 6, you put it there, you get the wood and the stone, and you're like, woo, I'm going to build a house. Whereas in this one, you're like, ooh, I'm going to build a village made out of weird blocks, like Minecraft. Maybe it's like Minecraft. There you go. It's like the Minecraft card game, which actually is way better than you'd think. I've actually thought about getting it because it's not the worst game ever.
I've never heard of it.
It's like $10 at Target. I bought it for my nephew. We played it once and he lost it all.
Hmm.
So I thought...
Sounds about right.
I'm like, yeah, you know what?
Just like his Magic cards.
No, they're all... I know where those are.
Yeah, they're here.
Oh, they're over at the house too. I have some of them.
Yeah, so I have the rest.
Oh.
Anywho... Yeah, so this game, it's not something you're going to bust out and play for hours upon hours with your group or whatever. But if your group is anything like mine where, you know, someone's like, oh, dude, I'll be there in 10 minutes and they don't show up for an hour, that's where this game comes in perfectly.
You can totally get this going and wrap it up when someone gets there and I just clean the whole thing up in about 90 seconds.
Or in the case of a Chris who will show up and then... dilly-dally for about 45 minutes and headbang before he's ready to play. Perfect for that, too.
What are we playing?
Fist pump.
No, actually, it's good. This is a good, like, if, like, say it's a Friday night and you're like, no one's planning on going home early, but no one wants to get into anything heavy either. They kind of want to play a variety of stuff. This is a good, like, maybe starter game or like let's end the night with it game.
Yeah, like knock one out.
Yeah, like you play a quick game of Splendor, then everybody shows up, then you play a game of Waterdeep or two, and then you wind the night down with Unearth, or maybe you rock a little Belfort action or a little something, Blood Rage maybe.
I'm going to play Suburbia.
Suburbia.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at this other game on here, and it looks like Suburbia. We're totally just not on track here.
It's good in the Suburbia /... I don't want to say kind of Ticket to Ride.
It's more like, it's more like a Seven Wonders weight game. You know what I mean? Where don't have to get too into it, but you got to be into it a little bit.
Somebody pointed out a flaw in Seven Wonders on a recent video I watched, and I was like, aw, they're right. Now I feel bad. Maybe I don't like that game anymore. I mean, I still do. But when he pointed out the flaw, I was like, I've never thought of it like that. That kind of sucks. Maybe I don't like that game anymore. I still do. But
I don't even know what you guys are talking about at this point.
All right, number it.
So Unearth, I was actually pleasantly surprised. And I think it has, for a game that's only 30 to 45 minutes, I think it's got just almost like the perfect amount of strategy for this type of game.
And it doesn't end too quick.
No.
You get to do some stuff. I mean, kind of know if you're going to be out of there. But you still can put up a fight and get the materials.
Yeah.
So there's,
If you play your dice right, you know. Anywho, I actually really like this game. I'm going to give it an 8.
Hmm. It's pretty good.
I feel bad giving it this score because I only played it once. I definitely need to play it like 3 or 4 more times. But I could probably safely land on a 7 right now. It's a really well-designed game. The art style is amazing. I think it's one of those games, like, once you kind of get into it a couple times, it probably improves. It's just one of those.
It did for me.
It wasn't like it was confusing. It was just kind of like, I'm like, all right, I'll just do whatever and see what happens. And then by the time I'm halfway through the game, I'm like, oh, I should have done that. Ah, fuck, I should have did that too. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess too late now. Whoops, I guess I'll just ride this one out.
Right.
Ride this one down the toilet of life.
Yeah, I'm right in the 8 range myself. I was thinking I was between 7, 5, and 8, but I think I'm going to go ahead and look to the future that I'll actually like this game more than a 7.5 for sure. So I'm going to stick with the 8. Dig it.
Well, alrighty. There you have it. That was Unearth. It's a pretty cheap game, too. What'd you pay for it? Like $30?
Yeah, like 25, I believe, or well, something like that.
Well, you had 30% off.
This would be but now it's like up on other places. You can find it online somewhere, like when I was just looking it up. It's anywhere from 20 to 35 bucks. I think retail's 35 bucks, but it's all over the place for less than that, let's say.
Honestly, this would be a good game to sell at Target.
It would also be a good game, I think, for people who aren't gamers. Like, if you want to take it to a game night with your trivia friends. Oh, totally.
Yeah, to get people into something a little different than Scrabble.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Target's carrying more games of that nature.
Yeah, they're not paying to be on this podcast.
Well, maybe they will.
Fuck Target.
They're trying to take over or take over parts.
They're trying to be the Walmart of board games. I get it.
Walmart of board games. Walmart sells board games. Their selection just sucks ass. Target's is actually not that bad. It's actually decent.
For now.
We'll be reviewing all the Target games pretty soon, so get ready.
Yeah, but they're not exclusive. There's a handful, but not all.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
They're in the game
not,
now.
They're probably not worth it.
They're in the game. And they look for Unearth at Target in like 2 years when it's no longer popular.
So there you have it. That was Unearth. That was us on You May or May Not Like It. You can find me on Twitter at XHorseAndX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. And you can find Michael at Review and Roast. Don't forget to check out our Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. And if you feel like supporting us, patreon.com/reviewandroast. Until next time, have a good one.